Hello and welcome to another episode of MCU for Dummies. I am dummy number two. That is dummy number one. It never feels right. Folks, I'm getting some more reps in the introduction just because it does not sound right coming off my mouth. I'm dummy number two. Like, what the hell is that
about? It's hard to start at two and then go to one. You're not wrong.
Ken is the voice behind the operation here. So he's allowing me to get some reps in as we do these shorter little types of podcasts. But in this episode, we are talking about What If Episode 3. I don't know what the best way to describe this is. I guess it's like, what if Nick Fury's big week just like fell to shit and everything went wrong and Hank Pym was just like an asshole. But there's so much to dissect here. I think it was like low-key like the darkest it could have gotten.
Like I said in our last talk about episode two of What If, I was wrong about the entirety of What If. It is way better than I thought it would be. Okay, I know that. Yada, yada, yada. Episode three was one of the best Marvel things I've seen since WandaVision. It was so good.
It was crazy.
It was funny. It was nuts. It was Marvel. It was comic booky in that, like, it just felt really cool.
The Hulk explodes.
The Hulk fucking...
He's got hair on his chest.
It's so nuts. So cool. I will say, like, yeah, what if Nick Fury's big week went to shit? It's like, what if Criminal Minds was Marvel, right? It's like, that's what the episode was. Loki being there, too, hearing Tom Hiddleston's voice always makes me feel nice.
Mark Ruffalo
is the Hulk.
Just to double-click on that, I love when Tom Hiddleston's giving his big speech and Nick Fury's cell phone is just going off.
Dude, it's so cool.
And everyone's standing there, and he's just like, are you going to answer that? Like, it was so
funny.
It's
so cool. The whole thing was so good.
Yeah, this was
hearing
a good
those familiar voices, too, it reminds you kind of like who's still around the MCU. Well, like, Tom Hiddleston is still here.
Also,
Mark Ruffalo is still here.
Who is the character, right? Like,
right.
Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man. But you know what? When it's a cartoon that looks like him, but it's a different voice, you know, who has the sway there? We always talk about, like, oh, Scarlett Johansson is Black Widow. And, you know, Edward Norton was never the Hulk. And then Mark Ruffalo kind of became the Hulk. But it's like, who are these characters? Is it like the visual of them? Or can this really be someone else's voice? Because, you know, a lot of the comments I see on like other people's YouTube channels is they're like, you know, I kind of came around to their voice like towards the end. And I just thought it was like the person. And I think that's like a really neat adaptation to art here.
I think so, too. I didn't really, you know, it's to me, it's animated, right? So it's like, it's not your live action hero. And it's a show literally that's called What If. So like, you can't expect everybody to sound exactly the same, right? Because it's a show about what if they did, right? So it's like just such a, it's such a cool place to put your mind at with those types of episodes. So like, quick breakdown, Nick Fury's big week, which takes place in between Iron Man 2, Thor 1, and The Incredible Hulk, all of which take place canonically in about like 5 or 7 days. All stories that take place on Earth, weirdly enough, and some in Asgard, but mostly on Earth. Nick Fury is able to court your boy Tony Stark, your boy Thor, and your boy Hulk into the Avengers Initiative as an idea of individuals who are greater than, you know, et cetera. You know the speech. So that's Nick Fury's big week. In episode three of What If, his week, as Lou said, went to total shit. Iron Man dies at the hands of Black Widow or Hank Pym. And then your boy Thor gets shot in the heart with an arrow from
that was
your boy
crazy.
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
And then the Hulk fucking blows up like you left fucking sauce on the stove covered for too long. And then the top comes popping off and then your whole fucking kitchen's covered in marinara. Okay. That's what it looked like. And Hank Pym is behind it all. The father of Hope Van Dyne, who was courted to be kind of that original Avenger after her mother's death, the initial Wasp, kind of a convoluted story if you haven't watched, you know, the Marvel stories in the past. But Hank Pym, the inventor of the Pym particle, dressed as the Yellow Jacket, which you saw, I forget his name, but the mayor of that Pennsylvania town in
House of Cards.
House of Cards.
Peter Russo.
That he played in the first Ant-Man. So just such a nutso story. Hank Pym goes banana hammock and murders all of the Avengers to get back at Nick Fury for killing his, quote-unquote, killing his daughter And then your boy Loki, who is quickly becoming kind of like the most known dude in the Avengers lineup right now, I would think. It just saves the day, pulling off some fun visual effects where he pretends to be Nick Fury. Lou, what a batshit episode. Just absolutely insane.
My favorite, the quality that is given in these episodes in the amount of time is insane, because you get the entire Avengers story from New Mexico to the donut shop to the Hulk in 26 to 28 minutes. And that's like the most beautiful part about it. We talked a little bit about how episode one was like very much formulaic. It was just, okay, let's take out Peggy, put Steve in, and then put Steve in this big iron costume. Episode two was the first experience, I think, in the What If realm where they were like, hey, trust us, we're gonna take you on a bit of a journey here. Thanos is here, he's a good guy. And it's like, all right, you got me, wherever you're going, I'm with it. This episode, I really watched it, like, once Tony died, I was like, all right, where is this one going to? And it's really enjoyable because it goes so quick. It's moving, the pacing is so fast. You see Thor, like, he dies really quickly. Like, there's no like long monologues that you'd get in a movie, and I think that like really adds to the experience. I think the What Ifs was a very good move by Marvel. I think it's told in a perfect medium. I think the length is perfect. I think the animation is on point. It's not like the voices are great, the mouths are a little off, but like the lighting and the shading and the coloring,
I don't mind the mouth thing, because like it is animation, it kind of like suspends belief for me a little bit. Like it's perfectly fine by me.
Yeah, you got to accept that there are different rules here, and that's okay. That's kind of what animation is. It's like, this is the rules here. But like seeing all these other people that were either like background characters that now get like another hoorah is really cool. Like Hank Pym getting like more detail into like an Avenger storyline is really cool. The security guy, Frank Grillo, that's his real name, life, who's like overly muscular at the age of 55, like he's really cool. And like seeing that part, and I don't know, like Black Widow, obviously we just saw like, you know, the movie, but I like how like every, like there are more people getting their shots here, because What If's not a cannonball of a tentpole movie. It's just like, here's an episode, let's try something out.
It's so much fun. I don't believe that the Hulk fucking blew up, man. It was so cool.
You texted me, you're like, something crazy happens, and I was like, honestly, like it's a cartoon.
The weirdest part, how'd you feel?
You might have thought that was the weirdest part. I thought the weirdest part was when Nick Coulson is driving across the desert and the Watcher is just like in the background. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? And there's like another part too.
I really like the Watcher.
I think he's going to be a great character going forward. Like just like almost like a Howard the Duck sort of character. Like they'll just throw him in, because there's going to be so much multiverse in space. Like it would be great to just get like him at like breaking the fourth wall and just like addressing the audience going forward.
And what a great voice. What a great voice too. I forget the Jeffrey Wright. Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah.
So good. So good. So perfect. Yeah. Episode three was a ton of fun. To me, it was best yet. I think it was. It's hard to beat that one right now. I mean, T'Challa being, you know, Chadwick Boseman is hard to beat. So if I remove like the emotional factor from it, then episode three was my favorite. But if we include it, then obviously episode two is going to be almost impossible to beat, just because of that fact as a whole. We know that episode four, Lou, will include Doctor Strange fighting Doctor Strange. Like an alternate version of Doctor Strange. It's going to be like a Doctor Strange on Strange situation. I wonder if there's a little connection here to what we might see in Spider-Man No Way Home, coming out of a little bit of a What If story.
Well, we would have to describe why Steven is in a frozen mansion wearing a downed jacket, but
he looks very strange.
I know you have.
We talked about the trailer in another episode. You can go watch that one.
Yeah, I know you have your theories on this one, but all I'll say here is that I think, although the What If will connect into the MCU as canon, I think it's a really good playground to see what stories hit and which ones don't. We even neglected to mention that Captain Marvel shows up at the end of this episode. And it's like, what does that mean? Like what if Captain Marvel and Captain America lead this new ragtag of Avengers, and it's like just like the C team?
arguably a stronger group than the one that took on Thanos to begin with, right? So if you assume that everything else plays out similarly, you know, and Loki now is a friend of Earth. Well, not really.
That was funny. You know,
He was for a minute, and then he took over.
I can't wait to be in a movie theater and like within like a year to 5 years, and then see like the next time Loki dies, because it's going to be amazing because this story has been built up so much.
Oh my gosh! I used to think the Loki fanboy thing was like overdone. I wasn't a Marvel fan. I didn't get it.
Now I'm on board.
Now I get it. He's cool. It's a cool dude. All right. That's What If episode 3. Lou, anything else to let the people know? Really cool episode. Go watch it if you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Really good episode.
Spoiler alert, obviously, about 20 minutes too late, but you know, oh well.
I don't know if you can yell the spoiler alert once we're done here. But no, I agree. I think this is really fun. I think it's the perfect summer show. It's not that serious. They might connect together, but it's very much like this is the story from start to end in like one setting, and I just really appreciate that, especially after Loki. That was such an emotionally driven show that I got so invested in. It's really nice that we get this little break, because don't forget, folks, we still got Eternals, we still got Hawkeye, we still got Spider-Man, we still got a whole bunch of other stuff. I think we got the Armor Wars coming out later this year, so there's still a lot to feast on. But first we feast on What If.
First we feast. We do love it.
Yes.
Folks, MCU for Dummies on Twitter, at Lou Dallow, at Cashman as well. Give us a follow. We'd love to have you there. That way you can get updated on all things Marvel, MCU for Dummies, I should say. Also, we talked about it in another podcast. We had POC underscore culture on our Shang-Chi podcast. And I would implore you all to head to GoFundMe and look up the Shang-Chi Challenge, which will be it'll be linked in all of our podcast descriptions. But go there if you can donate, give a few bucks. If you can't, it costs nothing to promote it and share it on your socials and get and drive more people there. We need people to go to the theaters, folks. Get your shots, get your vaccines. That way we can all, you know, go see movies in the movie theaters and keep them where they belong, and not delay Eternals or Spider-Man No Way Home. And we'd all really appreciate that. So get your vaccine, get your shot, support the Shang-Chi Challenge, and thanks for supporting us on the MCU for Dummies. I am Dummy Number 1, Ken. That is Dummy Number 2, Lou, and we will see you next week.